Late Night Call, written and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. Darlan squints accusingly at the thing he just pulled out of his pocket. "You are not a lollipop," he tells it, feeling betrayed. He squints a bit harder at the thing held lightly between his fingers. His eyes, which are a bit blurry for some reason, finally manage to focus. "That is an incense cone." How did that end up in his pocket? He doesn't usually carry those around in his pockets. He racks his brain for a moment, and then suddenly an image of looking into the cabinet where they keep the stuff for summoning the black-cloaked envoy pops up in his mind. Drylan makes a satisfied little noise. Then he frowns. He doesn't remember pocketing any of the incense. Why would he do that? But at least he knows where it came from now. Drylan hums to himself, and then wonders what he should do with the thing. He looks over at Daqing, but Daqing has clearly given up on drinking, and there's a black cat curled into a corner of the couch, asleep, half beneath... Are those Drylan's jeans? He looks down at himself. Well, he's definitely still wearing trousers, so those are... probably still his. Daqing was supposed to keep him company, Drylan thinks petulantly. He wants cuddles, and maybe a lollipop. Not that he's lonely. He's definitely all not lonely, he thinks with an emphatic nod that makes his head swim a bit. He's definitely not drinking alone at home with his cat for... He loses the train of that thought before he can quite finish it, and lets his head fall into his hands. Then he realizes he's still holding on to the incense. He should do something about that. He looks at the thing again, now a lot closer to his eyes. What if he tries using it? They haven't actually ever tried. Maybe the black-cloaked envoy is just waiting for an invitation. For nearly 2 years. He might be shy? Drylan leans forward to brush some stuff off the coffee table. There's a slight clatter when some of the stuff hits the floor. Drylan cringes slightly before carefully setting the incense cone down on the now freed space. He doesn't think he has anything to put it in, but it's probably fine. Maybe. Well, if it doesn't work, it's not like anything will change. He looks over at Daqing again. "Fatty?" he asks, his voice coming out quiet and a tiny bit pathetic. Drylan just wants someone to talk to right now. The black-cloaked envoy probably knows how to talk. Or at least listen. He almost reaches out to pick up the black cat and clutch him to his chest. But Daqing has abandoned him and Drylan is... He narrows his eyes at Daqing. Not going to wake Daqing up. He fumbles in his pockets for his lighter. He might have given up smoking, but he's not gotten rid of the habit of carrying a lighter, so it should be somewhere. He knows it should. It takes a moment before he finds it, and he actually finds a lollipop first that he sets down on the table next to the incense for now. It takes Drylan a few tries to light the incense, his fingers fumbling at the familiar motions over the lighter. Maybe he's had a bit too much to drink, Drylan thinks, just as he finally manages to get a flame going. He makes a triumphant little noise and holds the flame to the cone of incense. A few moments later, there's smoke rising quietly into the air. Drylan sits back and waits. And waits. How long does it take for someone to get a message through definitely not magic smoke anyway? Seems like it might not be the fastest way to reach someone. Maybe Drylan should just... Drylan startles when there's suddenly a crack of something that sounds alarmingly like thunder inside his home. In the next instant, the whole apartment seems freezingly cold. Jarlan shivers and hugs his arms around himself, which doesn't really help much. He glances at Daqing again.
How the fuck are you sleeping through this, Fatty?
Jarlan asks, his words slurring together, either because of the cold or the tiny bit he's had to drink. There's suddenly something black in front of the door to the apartment. It looks like some kind of hole. The more Jarlan looks at it, the more he feels like he might need to throw up. So he quickly looks away from it and actually misses the black-cloaked envoy getting out of it. Probably. Because when he looks back, there's definitely a black-cloaked envoy standing right there. And where else would he have come from?
Hello?
Jarlan says, stumbling only slightly over the word. Because of the cold. Definitely because of the cold. His teeth might be chattering. He tilts his head and blinks a few times, just to make sure that there is, in fact, a black-cloaked envoy right over there. Jarlan grins at the black-cloaked envoy, who is probably right there. He squints a bit, just in case that'll help make things clearer.
Hey, Bao Shi,
Jarlan says, feeling delighted. He completely meant to say something about the black-cloaked envoy actually showing up, because that is great. Instead, Jarlan shivers and hugs himself a bit tighter because it's cold. Yes, the black-cloaked envoy says slowly. Jarlan thinks he's looking at Jarlan, but there's a whole mask and hood thing going on, and honestly, Jarlan is mostly just seeing a lot of black. A small laugh escapes him. Yes, all black.
Hey, Lauga?
Jarlan mumbles to himself, and then grins delightedly at the black-cloaked envoy. Then he stumbles up from the couch, which means he has to stop trying to hug himself. He shivers a bit more, and then walks closer to the black-cloaked envoy. He doesn't even stumble on anything.
Hello,
Jarlan says happily, a lot closer to the black-cloaked envoy. That is definitely a face under all the mask and hood, he thinks with satisfaction. He definitely wasn't seeing things. Jarlan blinks and shivers slightly as the black-cloaked envoy stands there for a moment, definitely looking at Jarlan. Good evening. And you need me for something? The black-cloaked envoy asks. Jarlan thinks he doesn't sound very happy, and wonders if the black-cloaked envoy has had a bad day too. Does he need? Jarlan had definitely wanted the black-cloaked envoy for something. He stares at the black-cloaked envoy's pretty lips and tries to remember what exactly that something had been.
Yes?
Jarlan tells him, drawing the word out. It's a bit cold tonight, he says, and then immediately shivers again. There's a moment of silence again. The black-cloaked envoy clearly likes to take his time thinking about his words. That's fine. Jarlan isn't quite sure what he wants to say at the moment either. You seem more than a bit cold, the black-cloaked envoy says. And Jarlan is still looking at his lips hard enough that he almost misses what the black-cloaked envoy says. Jarlan has to think about it for a moment, and then nods quickly.
Yeah, right, he agrees, and then looks at the black-cloaked envoy, who seems to not be freezing at all.
Right, Jarlan repeats, and sways a bit closer to the black-cloaked envoy. The black-cloaked envoy doesn't move, or say anything. Jarlan inches a bit closer, and then sways slightly more than he means to, sort of half-crashing into the black-cloaked envoy's chest.
Well, that works too.
Hug? Jarlan asks hopefully.
A pair of careful arms come around to hold Jiayunlan, and suddenly it doesn't feel cold at all. Jiayunlan sighs contentedly, and then manages to tangle his hand in all the black fabric as he tries to hug the black cloaked envoy back. He pulls back a bit, trying to get his hand free. Jiayunlan bites his lip in concentration, shaking his head slightly. Then the world suddenly tilts a bit sideways, and he has to hold on to the black cloaked envoy for a bit.
"I think I need to sit down," Jiayunlan mumbles.
He tugs at the black cloaked envoy and stumbles a bit as he tries to take a step toward his bed. There's too much stuff on the floor. Then suddenly there's no more floor under his feet at all, and Jiayunlan makes a little yelp and clings on to the black cloaked envoy and waits for the world to stop spinning. "Oh," he thinks when the world calms down a bit and presses his face against the black cloaked envoy's shoulder. "That explains where the floor went." The black cloaked envoy smells nice. Then Jiayunlan is being put down onto the bed and... "Kun Jiayunlan, you have to let go," the black cloaked envoy says. "That doesn't sound right," Jiayunlan thinks and holds on a bit tighter. "Jiayunlan," the black cloaked envoy repeats. Jiayunlan makes a small noise of acknowledgement, because the black cloaked envoy probably wants an answer. He feels the black cloaked envoy sigh. "Please, Jiayunlan, let go." "But you'll go," Jiayunlan mumbles, still holding on. "He doesn't want that, does he?" "I," the black cloaked envoy says, and then goes completely quiet. Jiayunlan loosens his grip just a bit, something unpleasant tumbling around in his stomach. With the way the world still keeps swaying a bit, that's not nice at all.
"Hey, Bao Shi," Jiayunlan whispers.
"I won't go," the black cloaked envoy says. "Oh, that's good," Jiayunlan thinks and tightens his hold.
"But you need to lie down, Jiayunlan."
Jiayunlan hesitates for a moment and then lays down, regretfully letting go of his hold on the black cloaked envoy. His bed is very soft, and Jiayunlan looks at the black cloaked envoy, and the black cloaked envoy sits down on the bed. Jiayunlan loops his arms around the black cloaked envoy's middle and squirms closer to him, sighing happily. Jiayunlan wakes up to a pounding head and his mouth tasting vaguely like death. He's also pretty sure he's holding on to someone, and it doesn't feel like Da Qing, or smell like Da Qing. Jiayunlan very carefully pries his eyes open, and there's a lot of black fabric.
"Hey, Bao Shi?"
Jiayunlan mumbles very carefully, vague memories of last night starting to crawl back slowly. Jiayunlan remembers not wanting to let go of the black cloaked envoy. He can't quite remember why. Jiayunlan swallows. At the sound of someone, the black cloaked envoy, clearing their throat. Jiayunlan realizes he's still holding on to the black cloaked envoy. Something moves against Jiayunlan's hair and... Wait, is that the black cloaked envoy's hand in Jiayunlan's hair?
"Good morning," the black cloaked envoy says, and he sounds kind of strangled.
Well, he's been sitting there, letting Jiayunlan cling to him all night. He might be thirsty, tired. This is not how Jiayunlan had imagined his first meeting with the black cloaked envoy.
"Nice to finally meet you,"
Jiayunlan half mumbles, and then kind of fails at pulling away from the black cloaked envoy, and instead sort of flails about a bit in a slightly embarrassing way. The movement makes Dryland's stomach roil and he flops back down, still right next to the black-cloaked envoy. But at least he managed to get his arms away from him. Dryland presses his face against the mattress and moans pitifully. After a moment of resounding quiet, Dryland peels his face away from the mattress and says, "I'd offer you breakfast, but I don't think I can move." Dryland isn't entirely sure he has anything to make breakfast out of other than instant noodles. He could definitely make noodles for the black-cloaked envoy. "I can make breakfast," the black-cloaked envoy says slowly. Dryland blinks, and then slowly and carefully pushes himself up from the bed, trying not to make himself feel worse. He manages to sit up without feeling too horrible, and he'll take that as a win. He'd had quite a bit to drink last night, didn't he? He squints slightly as he looks at the black-cloaked envoy. The light is definitely making the pounding in his head worse. The black-cloaked envoy still definitely looks like the black-cloaked envoy, Dryland thinks. Even his hood is still up. And the mask is there. Just like the black-cloaked envoy is supposed to look. If the black-cloaked envoy was supposed to be sitting on Dryland's bed. "You don't need to," Dryland says carefully. "I'll make something to ease your headache. Meanwhile, you can go take a shower," the black-cloaked envoy says firmly. Dryland blinks. "Okay, thanks. This all feels a bit surreal, and he's not completely sure he's not stuck in some kind of alcohol-fueled hallucination. But he'd probably not be feeling quite this bad if he was. Can you do something for the nausea, too?" The black-cloaked envoy sighs, his lips tightening for a moment, and Dryland probably shouldn't be staring at the black-cloaked envoy's lips, he thinks, and keeps looking at the black-cloaked envoy's lips. It's the only part of his face that is visible. Well, he could try looking at the black-cloaked envoy's eyes. Dryland moves his gaze up just a bit, and then stares as the black-cloaked envoy's lashes sweep down when he blinks slowly. Dryland swallows dryly, grins a bit sheepishly and says, "I'll just head to the shower now." Dryland doesn't stay in the shower for very long, even if it does make him feel better. He just feels a tiny bit weird about having the black-cloaked envoy in his home, apparently making breakfast. Dryland isn't entirely sure what he's going to make breakfast from, but he's not going to worry about that right now. So, even though Dryland kind of wants to take a long, leisurely shower and hope the water washes away some of the hangover, he just washes himself and then gets out. He quickly brushes his teeth before pulling on a mostly clean t-shirt and an old pair of very soft and ripped jeans before walking out of the bathroom. Then he stops, and not just because of the delicious smell of food suddenly hitting his nostrils. The black-cloaked envoy did apparently get food from somewhere, but he's also made the bed and picked up all the stuff from the floor. Dryland takes a few steps. There's nothing but a sleeping cat on the couch either. Dryland resists the urge to get down on all fours and check under the bed. That would not be helpful to his remaining nausea. He's pretty sure he can't have been in the bathroom for much longer than 15 minutes. Before he's quite managed to get over the shock of his apartment looking habitable, the black-cloaked envoy is suddenly ushering him back toward the bathroom. "You shouldn't leave your hair wet like that," he tells Dryland, and then unearths a blow-dryer from somewhere. Dryland knew he owned one, he just hasn't seen it in the last year, probably. He presses the thing into Dryland's hands, and Dryland bites back on the words that rise up in his mind. "You're not my mom." He swallows, feeling nauseous suddenly. But maybe that's just the hangover.
He takes the blow dryer and obediently starts drying his hair, because it's still the black-cloaked envoy and Dryonland shouldn't offend the black-cloaked envoy. He bites back a snort that has the taste of hysteria to it, because maybe it's a bit too late to be thinking about that.
This time, when Dryonland leaves the bathroom, his hair is nice and dry, he's allowed to sit down at the breakfast bar in front of the delicious breakfast of eggs, toast and some ham. Dryonland is very sure he had none of those things in his home. He's never had any of those things in his home. It's not really the kind of thing he eats. But at least it should all be things that won't make him feel any worse, so he's not going to start asking questions now. There's even coffee, which Dryonland isn't allowed to have until he's drunk a glass of water first. He whines pathetically as the black-cloaked envoy tells him as much. But the black-cloaked envoy is implacable. So Dryonland obediently picks up his glass of water and chugs it down. And then holds his hands out for the cup of coffee the black-cloaked envoy is keeping from him. He looks pleadingly at the black-cloaked envoy. The black-cloaked envoy sighs slightly and then hands over the coffee. Their fingers press together over the coffee cup and Dryonland freezes. A slight tingle seems to start from Dryonland's fingers and sweep up through his arms before spreading through the rest of him. His head is suddenly not aching quite the same way anymore, and the remaining nausea is barely there anymore. The black-cloaked envoy lets go of the coffee cup. Dryonland lifts it to his mouth and takes a sip. It tastes perfect. "What did you just do?" he asks, trying not to sound like he's accusing the black-cloaked envoy of anything. "Do you feel better now, Dryonland?" the black-cloaked envoy asks instead of answering. "Yeah," Dryonland admits and lets it go. Whatever that was, it made the hangover a lot less bad, and maybe that's all he really needs to know. Then, finally, Dryonland actually digs into his breakfast. A few bites later, he looks up at the black-cloaked envoy, still just standing there watching Dryonland eat. "How about you, Your Honor? Aren't you going to eat anything?" Dryonland asks. The black-cloaked envoy blinks, those ridiculously long lashes sweeping down and back up slowly. "I'm okay. I'll be heading off soon," the black-cloaked envoy says. Dryonland looks down at his food and, well, he's already deprived the black-cloaked envoy of a night's sleep. He shouldn't be keeping him from breakfast, too. Resolutely, Dryonland puts a bit of egg and ham on toast and stabs it with a fork and stretches it out to the black-cloaked envoy. The black-cloaked envoy stares at him. Dryonland shrugs and says, "You made it after all. You should have some. At least a bite." Very slowly, the black-cloaked envoy leans in and eats the food from the fork. Dryonland smiles brightly at him and goes back to eating. Dryonland takes a sip of his coffee and then thinks to ask, "Coffee?" The black-cloaked envoy can at least have a cup of coffee if he refuses to eat anything, right? Then, before Dryonland can say anything more, the black-cloaked envoy has reached out and taken a sip from Dryonland's cup. "Okay." He meant for the black-cloaked envoy to have his own cup, but apparently he's using Dryonland's instead. Dryonland blinks, shrugs one shoulder, and continues eating. The black-cloaked envoy leaves pretty much the moment Dryonland is done with breakfast. He just offers a quick, "I should leave now," before heading toward the door. "Next time, at least let me buy you dinner in return for..." Dryonland trails off a bit awkwardly and just spreads his hands, gesturing at everything, basically. The black-cloaked envoy stops. He turns to look at Dryonland, A small smile tugs at his lips before he ducks his head, that hood of his falling down to shadow his face.
I'd like that,
the black-cloaked envoy says so quietly that Zhao Yunlan thinks he might have imagined it. And then the black-cloaked envoy is gone. At least he left through the door, Zhao Yunlan thinks. That Jing finally lifts his head up from the couch, apparently awake now.
He likes you,
that Jing says. Zhao Yunlan feels a delighted smile spread on his face. You really think so? He asks hopefully. That Jing just snorts, his head falling back down onto the couch.